Chedim. They're worthless, they're meaningless. So when a Jew has a hisayrus, an arousal, a sense of inspiration, a sense of ruchnis, a sense of dveikus, if you're honest, you're forced almost to delegitimize it and say it's all sheker, it's all one big lie, v'haraya. 5 minutes later, the same person is capable of the most grotesque, immoral, horrific impulses. It's almost comical. If we would have the opportunity to be able to see what people are thinking about in the holiest moments, right? Like sometimes under a chuppah. Under a chuppah, or at a moment which calls for so much positive and holy energy, what goes through people's minds and hearts could be sometimes the exact opposite. And if they're honest with themselves, it has to prove to them the truth that that is essentially, they are complete beasts, and everything else is just delusions. And when they come back, when they sober up, they just get back to their regular self, which ultimately produces one of two results. Either cynicism or dishonesty. Either cynicism in the entire system of Yiddishkeit, because it's not true. Cynicism means you don't trust it. It's not real. It's if you're an honest person, are you going to fake? Or the other extreme, dishonesty.
That's those are the only conclusions?
No. Each one of them has a 1.1 billion ramifications, but the concept. If you'll notice, he calls it the Tanya Sefer Shel Beinonim. This is important. Why? Generally, Sifrei Musar spoke about two types of Jews. The good Jew, say the tzaddik, and the Jew who's flawed. What was the difference? The good Jew was the Jew who was always in touch with the will of Hashem. Ratzon Hashem. He wants to do what God wants, cognitively, emotionally, functionally, and that's what he does practically. And the other Jew is the Jew who's not like that. The Jew who can't say that all of his midos and his entire personality is in sync with God's will. So maybe call him the Rasha, or call him the Jew who's flawed, who has a lot of work to do on himself. So you have here two different models. Now, the regular Jew, the ordinary Jew, the Beinoni, the human being, opens up these Svarim and starts reading them. What happens? There are neshamas that are very subtle, they're very sensitive, they're very lofty, they're spiritually very in touch and tuned, so they can reach that. But most people can't live a life that they completely identify with God's will internally, externally, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So when they read a lot of Svarim, different people react in two different ways. One approach is, this is not me. This is not me. So I'm not going to lie my whole life. You have this bachur at 15 years old is hearing stories from his Rebbe or Rosh Hashiva, and he decides that he's going to be Rebbe Akiva Eiger. You ever had that? Or he's going to become the next Baal Shem Tov, or he's going to become the next Chafetz Chaim, or he's going to be the next Rashba, or he's going to be the Pnei Yeshua, whoever he's going to be. Right? He's 15, and he starts steiging away, 18 hours a day, right? He tells his mother, no breakfast, no lunch, no, I'm not coming home anymore. For 7 years, I'm not coming home anymore. And then a few days later, he's walking in the street and he sees something and he realizes, Nishkin Rebbe Akiva Eiger, he's not a Pnei Yeshua, he's not a Rambam, he's not a Rashba, he's not a Chafetz Chaim. He sees he's a regular 15-year-old boy with good hormones. So what happens? What happens to you at that point? Two things can happen. One thing can happen is at some point you say, okay, I'm not going to fake it. So you give up on your spiritual aspirations, because you want to be a real person. The other extreme is you become a fake person. So basically at Shemoneh Esrei, you're closing your eyes. You make sure that you daven longer than everybody else. You lift up your hands higher than everybody else. You're almost deluding yourself to believe that you are this person who on a deep level you know you're not. And that becomes very sad, because for the rest of your life you're not honest anymore about your emotions, because you can't be. Because if you're honest about your emotions, what's going to emerge is stuff that you don't even want to tell yourself that you have. So your whole life you're pretending that you are one of these model Jews who are experiencing very lofty divine levels, when really it would be like discussing a dish for years and years. And you ever saw people discussing a dish for years and years and years that they never tasted? But you have to make believe that you know everything about it. Now that's very tragic. We're analyzing recipes of dishes that we never tasted. We don't even know what they look like, never mind. But you have to make believe that you know exactly what they are. You know? So people are talking about Tzaddik, and people sometimes talk about the Baal Shem Tov and the Arizal and the Beis Yosef and the Alshich and the Baditchev and the Chernobyler and the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Reb Zish and the Rebbe Reb Baruchel and the Apterov. And everybody is supposed to get excited from their Kedusha and Tara as though it relates to them. And if somebody says, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't feel anything of this, I am clueless, I am alienated, I don't even know what they want, this is all nostalgia, and like somebody said, nostalgia today is not what it used to be like, and it's all trying to draw inspiration from credit cards that don't exist anymore. How long can you live on credit cards? How long can you live? You ever, anybody tried? How long can you live on credit cards? So the expert Ganovim say 3 years. 3 years you could live on credit cards, that you have absolutely not a penny in the bank, but you live on credit cards. How long can the Jewish world live on credit cards? Money we don't have, inspiration we don't have, telling stories how it used to be in Vilna and in Slabodka, in the Mir, right, in that circle, or in other cities where you want Poland or Galicia or Hungary, whatever, wherever you come from, whatever gets your parents or yeshivas excited. How long can you train a whole generation to live off those credit cards without talking about them? Without talking about them. If God is true, he's true today. He wasn't true 200 years ago in Mezhebush. He's true here today in this Trefina Medina with the internet. If Matan Torah is true, it's true today. So we have a major problem because you have those who say, I'm honest, I'm not going to lie, and therefore I'm not going to lie, this whole thing is not for me. Go to, send it to the carbon. I'm not going to be part of a game. And then the other ones who say, no, I'll be part of the game, and therefore they're playing a game their whole life. And whenever you try to talk to them about their emotions, they can't. They have to cut off their emotions because if they deal with their emotions, it's going to be very ugly. And this was one of the great revolutions, probably, of the Baal HaTanya, that he wrote a sefer called Sefer Shalbeinanim. And one of his chidushim in the sefer was that God does not want everybody to identify with him 24 hours a day. In other words, part of the design of creation is that we are conflicted. We operate on two levels of consciousness. One level of consciousness, you're one with God always. Another level of consciousness, you really don't give a hoot. You're just a beast and an animal. And that's part of your design. That is part of your journey. And Avodas Hashem does not mean that you obliterate one. Avodas Hashem means you learn how to live with the two souls, as he's going to explain. You learn how to live with the two souls, and other both of them fulfill a particular function and purpose. He does not want everybody to have one godly soul. Your animal soul is part of your purpose and part of your design, and the fact that you have it doesn't mean you're a failure. Avodas Hashem does not mean that every part of you is always in sync with God's will. No, that's not Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means that you, based on who you are honestly and genuinely with your two souls, can find your own relationship with God according to your capacity. What that does is, it says two things. Number one, the dichotomy is inherent, you can't get rid of it. Number two, more important, the moments of genuine spirituality are not fake, just because they're followed by moments of grotesque immorality. The Nefesh HaBahamas' experience doesn't delegitimize and make believe that the Nefesh HaLikis doesn't exist. The Nefesh HaLikis exists. Sometimes I completely don't feel it. Fine. You have two souls. You have two operating systems. And one does not cancel out the other. It doesn't make believe. It doesn't make that the Ruchnius should be completely non-existent. It doesn't do that. What does this accomplish? Not that I have to become cynical and let everything go, nor do I have to become fake. Rather, I discover, every person can discover, that their journey towards God is one that relates to who they are today. It's who you relate today. In other words, every person, according to who they are, can find and become an Oved Hashem according to their emes and mitzvos, because he doesn't want everybody to become a tzaddik, meaning that they get rid of the Nefesh HaBahamas. Rather, Avodas Hashem means understanding your two souls, and within that context and within that process, finding your relationship with Hashem. So this Bitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu Nasa